Welcome to episode 7 of the Who Cares podcast. Today we'll be talking about single-use plastic, individually wrapped items and their importance in a care setting, in a healthcare setting, to those living on their own, those with reduced appetites, and kind of not just kind of individually wrapped items, but I suppose what some people might see, especially your Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall types, as unnecessary plastics, such as black plastic in ready meals and things like that, but they serve a purpose in the community that we serve. Not the best choice of phrase, but let's go and get on with things. What is the benefit to individually wrapped plastic items in a care setting?
In a care setting, there's tons. You know, personally, my opinion, I detest the use of plastic generally and avoid it at most costs. Not all, I should be honest, but
isn't this most fairly unavoidable?
Yes, but certainly I go out of my way to avoid it when it regards a food preparation and storage, which goes against my own personal preference when it comes to being at work or managing settings, should we say, people in their own homes. The importance of having things individually wrapped is, as you briefly introduced in your introduction, it supports appetite stimulus, it gives variety. It prevents any food wastage, and then that comes back to the same circular point that then the appetite is then again supported. The issue we have with the elderly clients or vulnerable adults living alone at home is it's often just them, so it's very difficult in the first instance to feel sort of massive amounts of motivation to, in regard to any meal preparation. And that's on a daily basis, not every now and then. So often our clients struggle to even be bothered to make a sandwich for dinner, let alone a hot meal. The advantage of these single-use plastic wrapped items is there's tons and tons of variety. So one of the biggest issues with appetite or lack of appetite is not being able to sort of stimulate it yourself. And one of the most obvious ways of doing that is doing your own food shopping. Whether you're going around the shop yourself or you're doing an online shop, you've got the supermarket on your lap, or even if you're writing a list for your neighbour, a relative or someone to go and do for you, in the back of your brain, you've got those food products in your head, what you fancy, what you ordered, what you picked up on offer, what you hoped the neighbour would come back with. And so then when you feel hunger, your brain then clicks back to that that part of its response system and says, oh yeah, that malt loaf or that salmon pie or whatever your brain has got stored of what you have there that you could eat to satisfy that hunger. And that is basically the process of stimulating your appetite, and one which the vast majority of the population take enormously for granted, because that's just a day-to-day given. We even don't bother making our own lunches most of the time. Well, I'll go to the shop, I fancy that, I'll pick that up, I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Most people obviously living alone at home don't have that luxury at all. The other advantage is the size of portions. So again, an elderly client isn't going to eat as much as you. I've seen you eat for your lunch, like nowhere near.
Most people don't eat as much as I eat for my lunch.
Yeah, you're probably a bad example. But all joking aside, they'd probably eat a quarter of what's on your plate. When we teach food and nutrition training, we advocate that a staff member prepares a meal for a client the portion they would for a toddler or a school-aged child, because portion size can really put people off.
Yeah.
So again, the individually wrapped stuff is normally single portions of stuff. So going back to malt loaf, rather than a big loaf of the stuff, you can get the lunchbox loaves. So if someone fancies it, it's just a tiny bit. One, there's a little bit there, it's not going to put anybody off. Two, the rest of that malt loaf isn't going to go dry and over chewy and unpleasant and just be thrown away. So that goes, I was about to say, eats into, without even thinking about the pun, into a bigger issue, which is a bigger issue, of food wastage.
Yeah.
That's a bigger issue than single-use plastic. Plus then that knocks the appetite back down. It's like, I actually don't want that. That's not nice. That's not fresh. Mm. That's chewy. It's not what I thought it was going to be like. And also,
a lot of products are geared towards, and you understand why, but a lot of products are geared towards the nice things, families, couples, something that you could kind of have and then portion up and then have a few days later or whatever it is. But the older generation are particularly more frugal for one, but also why would you waste the money? You know, it's kind of why would I buy that pork joint, which I'm not going to eat, or why am I going to buy that packet, a whole cake? You're not going to want a whole cake, and you're not certainly not of the generation that throws half a cake away.
Absolutely.
So it's not geared towards people living on their own. Like lunchbox loads, the clue is in the name. A lot of these single, individually wrapped things are geared towards children. There's not a lot in the market which is geared towards either single people or people living on their own. And it isn't just elderly people. And we've got a friend who by no means needs care, but he was so pleased when he got the Joe Wicks cookbook because there were lots of meals on there which were designed to be cooked on your own
for one person,
or for one person, rather than it's for two, it's for four. Like when you open most cookbooks, it's for six, which most of the time isn't necessarily relevant and is off-putting.
It's already a deterrent enough that you have to eat alone, unless you're somebody who adores your own company. That's often quite unappealing anyway, and so all these things added in makes a big issue. But as you rightly point out, the smaller portions and therefore the single-use plastic masses of stuff is actually really, really useful for lots of survival. Dramatic word, but it's a fact. Like if you have somebody elderly who just doesn't bother to eat, it doesn't take very long at all for them to become incredibly unwell, incredibly frail. And it's back to the circle which we've talked about over probably most of the podcast, is that one thing affects the other. So somebody's mood is down, so then they can't really be bothered to shave, or they can't be bothered to make breakfast, or they can't be bothered to X, Y, or Z, and then they all knock into one another. Whereas these things with your variety packs of stuff as well, so variety is the spice of life, as they say, but again...
Who says that?
I don't know specifically who, but loads of people.
Winston Churchill. So.
Perhaps, yeah. But again, it's, do I want another digestive biscuit? No, not really. Whereas if you, again, back to the children, you can go to the supermarket and there's tons of stuff you can get for your children's lunchboxes, and you get the packets of like the mini cookies or the mini Jaffa cakes or the mini something, and they're like six mini portions in one bag. So you can think, I'll get the Jaffas, I'll get the cookies, and I'll get the chocolate digestives. And you go home, and as an elderly person or somebody frail, vulnerable, living alone at home, you can choose from three different types of biscuits and you're wasting nothing. You open that one little packet and that was nice. And then you've got the others as fresh and as yummy and whatever tomorrow.
You have to be really posh and have a tin of assorted biscuits.
They go dry.
Yeah, they do.
Every time they've been bought in as gifts to the office, they're good for like 2 days and they go dry. And that's considering that there's like 10 people picking at them and there's still enough left to go dry. So you make a good point, but it's not as effective. Whereas unfortunately, things in these tiny little plastic, rustly, non-recyclable plastic as well.
Yeah,
scrunchy plastic. Work wonders at keeping food fresh. So, and obviously in our line of work, that is more important.
Thank you, Mr. Kipling.
Yes, and sorry, Mr. Fernie Whittingstall. But it's obviously not just limited either to biscuits and stuff. We're talking about the crappy food for you, but... Again, we do promote a lot of that with our client base because, again, it stimulates appetite. Mm. So somebody will have a biscuit with their cup of tea, they're more likely to drink a full cup of tea.
But if you're not buying it, you're not really cooking it, you're not sitting down as a meal for two engaging with it, because television's a big suppressor of appetite because you're not looking at your food or engaging with your food. And to be fair, if it's a ready meal from somewhere crap like Wiltshire Farm food, you don't want to engage with it. You don't really want to even look at the bloody thing. So,
but
that's four appetite suppressants there. You're not buying it, you're not cooking it, you're not engaging with it, and you're not sat down with somebody enjoying it. So
it sort of has a massive knock-on effect. But there are, as well as the variety packs of biscuits and obviously crisps, everyone knows you can get a variety packet crisps, but they do the ready-prepared fruit, ready-prepared veg, and often you can get that in single portions. And again, it's the same thing. A client's not going to buy a whole watermelon, but they may well fancy a portion of the stuff. And again, that plastic is shite, and most of the time it's non-recyclable, so it's completely single use, but it enables somebody to have fresh fruit, fresh vegetables in their diet, which normally they wouldn't. Often we'll have a client who, again, it's bad food, but individually wrap little pork pies rather than a big one. They'll have a couple of those, but then they'll have some of the single portion grapes with it, and maybe one of the little mature cheddar sticks, again, like a Baby Bell.
Yeah.
You get different things, and again, they're individually wrapped, but it saves somebody, one, having a block of cheese to go off and rough at the sides. It saves somebody having to tackle a block of cheese because it's actually quite difficult to chop a chunk off, whereas in like these individually wrapped ones, it's ready, it's perfect. And it's an ideal, she says, portion size. It has an awful lot going for it in actually in ways of supporting nutrition.
And supporting carers, supporting nutrition as well, because they're individually wrapped. They, you know, easy to get out the cupboard, easy to serve, easy to prepare.
Well, again, you could offer three different types of cheese. Which cheese would you like your pork pie? You've got this mature cheddar, you've got a Baby Bell, or you've got a Marmite cheddar. Well, whatever the person might have in the fridge, it's like, oh, which one do I fancy? It's again, it's just adding in that more variety, that shopping experience, the supermarket sort of in your kitchen, when they don't get that at all. And like, there's so much joy to be had from food, and it seems horribly unfair that the vulnerable, the frail, the elderly, the isolated should sort of not be able to enjoy something which we are incredibly fortunate to benefit from in this country. It just seems bonkers. And then, as you say, the ready meals, they are in this lethal black plastic, which is just terrible for everything.
But necessary, because most of the time it help aids in the cooking process of the meal.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not recyclable.
No. But also what's completely necessary is obviously often a hot meal for somebody. We wouldn't all just want to eat Weetabix followed by sandwiches followed by more sandwiches all day, every day. It's just not what most people go in for. So again, you're back to variety for one. Two, there's now tons of companies that make ready meals for one, like pots for one.
Mm-hmm.
Or failing that, there is loads on the children's market, which is, again, I won't let my personal opinions come through to that, but why people would be preparing ready meals, microwave meals for children consistently is just a horrendous thought. But using those, they're often well balanced, they're a smaller portion, and there's lots of variety to
reduced
them.
Reduced salt,
yeah, all these other things. But again, it gives somebody the option of having a hot meal. And again, you're back to the supermarket. What do you want, Jim? You've got fish pie, there's meatballs and pasta here, or there's some sort of, I think it's a vegetarian moussaka, whatever the carer can pull out the freezer or the fridge, which one do you fancy? Rather than, here's your fish pie, stuck down in front of somebody, don't fancy a fish pie. And even the conversation about which one would you like engages that brain. And I know we have a podcast on nutrition, so I shan't harp on too much, but it's those little choices and the little moments of conversation that spark that appetite stimulus.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I would fancy this.
I think on the subject of ready meals, there must be a big shout out for, not a sponsor, Cook Ready Meals, which is C-O-O-K. I don't think there's any more to it than that. But if you Google Cook Ready Meals, frozen meals,
they
are pretty much the gold standard that I've come across, certainly.
I agree.
And you see them more and more in supermarkets as well. You notice them in a few co-ops. They do come at a bit of a premium, but they are nicer than your standard ones delivered to the door. But I suppose things like Marks and Spencer's meals are very nice. But Cook in particular is very good.
Well, it is genuinely home cooked as well. They're actually all made in small batches in kitchens and then sent out for sale, aren't they?
Try and remember to put a link in the description to the podcast below. But again, like I say, they specifically do kind of side portions of rice, pots for one, lunch pots, and their children's meals actually aren't in black plastic. They're in like a cardboard dish, which is fully recyclable. So, you know, big shout out and congratulations to them.
Absolutely. They do individual puddings as well, which if anything's going to get some people, you know, like myself, through a meal, it's like, well, where's the cheesecake? And it's that finishing that experience, even when you sort of by yourself and single portion of ice cream, even, you know, cookies really good. Home delivery as well.
Home delivery, not...
You can phone up to order. Hasn't got to be ordered online.
Yes, make sure you ring the right number.
Yeah. And yes, not friends who have made orders for you previously.
And I think the last few orders that I've seen have been wrapped in sheep's wool or something as an insulation to keep them cold. I think that's them. Or it could be. I'm pretty sure it was that order that had the sheep's wool lining, which is pretty cool.
Sounds interesting.
Helping our sheep farmers.
Absolutely.
And the environment.
With less plastic. So everything sort of does come full circle. But the importance of this podcast is to stress that sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah, the bottom line is we do use too much plastic in our society and in the world, and it is a massive problem. But there's also no getting away from the fact that if you take individually wrapped cakes and pork pies and items and little, like say, mini cheeses out of the market, you are disadvantaging a huge section of our society who rely on those things for a decent level of nutrition and to remain healthy.
Absolutely. And it enables a lot of our client base to actually have their independence promoted. So it's like, well, it's all right, thank you. I can make my own ploughman's platter, because he or she knows all they've got to do is actually just open these little packets of things. Yeah. And even down to Jacob's crackers, they all come in these little portions if you pick the right brand.
Well, Cook in particular as well, in terms of going banging on about the meals, is they will send you, you know, their little brochure or menu of items. So, you know, then the person has the independence of, like say, phoning up and ordering their own food, and then they can have a freezer of dishes which they can then choose from and plan out, and okay, get that stimulation from planning out their food a bit better.
And the other benefit of Cook's brochure of food?
Calories?
Well, yes, that wasn't what I was going to think, but yeah. Dietary specific guidance. But what's the most interesting thing about a Cook brochure?
It looks nice.
Has pictures.
Yeah.
So again, you're sort of...
10 points for Gryffindor.
10 points for Gryffindor, Slytherin, because those points will be mine.
You asked me the question, I answered the question.
You didn't get the answer right.
I did, I said it's got pictures, it looks nice.
You said it looks nice, I said it's got pictures.
No, I said pictures.
You didn't.
Well, I can listen back.
You can listen back.
I'm listening back.
You didn't say pictures.
I'm in Ravenclaw looks nice. Anyway, so it doesn't matter. I even got my own house wrong.
That's for Slytherin. Anyway, the point is you're bringing that person back into the supermarket, which obviously they're not there, but they can look at it and think, I fancy that chicken pie, that looks good. It's a great way for someone who can't access the internet to peruse, you know, Tesco online.
A catalogue.
Yeah, it's a very, very nice way of doing it. And because it's small enough, they can sort of bang those things into that brochure.
Yeah, it's like an A5 thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's good. But generally, the single-use plastic in the food market for individual portions, unfortunately, should not be deterred. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's probably lots of other ways that these big companies could wrap their food.
Of course there are. There's lots of different... There's a lot of compostable plastic products out there.
Yeah, there's tons. But people who need to purchase it shouldn't be the ones punished for feeling bad for purchasing.
It shouldn't just be removed straight away. It should either be replaced or kept until companies are willing to replace it.
Yeah, but the pressure is on the big companies. It's not on the... It's not on... people buying them or needing to buy them.
Indeed. I think that probably wraps that episode up.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so as always, send us your thoughts, your comments, your any ideas, experiences to the email address, which is mailbox.whocarespod@gmail.com. It will be in the description below, should I remember to put it in, but if not, I will see you, or we will see you, even though we don't see you, at the next episode.